You're with Cape Talk.
This is Refilwe Moloto on Breakfast.
It's 7:20. Let's move to our next conversation, which actually is quite related to that one that we just had with Zolani Matthews, and that is, of course, that of the homeless. And I say that with deftness because I know that there is a difference between people who are living homeless and people who are living in informal settlements. But at the end of the day, South Africa, but in particular, Cape Town has a housing crisis that needs attention. While that is ongoing, however, the MACO has recommended that City Council approve the new unlawful occupation bylaw alongside the update to the streets, public places and prevention of noise nuisance bylaw, which, amongst other things, would find that homeless people could end up being fined by the city for being poor and without a roof over their head. JP Smith, MACO member of for Safety and Security, will help me understand a little bit better exactly what these updates imply. Good morning, JP. Welcome back to the show.
Morning, Russell.
Can you tell us exactly what the unlawful occupation bylaw seeks to achieve?
So that bylaw is attempting to fill in some of the gaps that you have with the PIE Act. It's essentially, we've had since the beginning of COVID quite a large increase in the number of informal settlements and land invasions, particularly violent land invasions across the city. And so what this bylaw does is try to regulate the growth of those informal settlements. It supports the provisioning of alternative placement, so voluntary relocation. It deals with cost recovery and payment for services, the determination for the non-furnishings of services have been made. There's a monitoring and regulation tools in place. It deals with the city's right to act on behalf of private landowners, which is a big thing because they very often don't have the capacity to stop the unauthorized occupation of land. And then it imposes certain obligation on landowners as well. So it fills in some of the gaps where the PIE Act was meant to promulgate regulations, or national government was meant to promulgate regulations in terms of the PIE Act, which they haven't done, which is something regularly raised at the South African Local Government Association meetings and elsewhere across the country.
You mentioned voluntary relocation, but it seems it's not. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that if people do not take on the enforced shelter that your team in Safety and Security puts forward to them, then they will be fined.
Now, you're conflating two issues. Those are separate provisions within the Streets and Public Places bylaw. And remember that we're not adding anything new to the Streets and Public Places bylaw. There we are only in Section 22 adding a range of technical provisions that unpacks what the existing provisions mean. Some of them over time, having had to be tested and used, have turned out to be vague enough to leave room for misinterpretation. And based on legal opinion that we obtained internally from senior legal counsel, we have attempted to improve those, make sure they are fully constitutional.
Can you give me an example of where there was a gap, for example?
The Section 22 deals with technical things like the right to enter a premises. So in various city bylaws, the problem building bylaw, for instance, deals with properties where, amongst other things, for instance, a city can classify a building as a problem building if drugs and other criminal acts are committed. But the right of the law enforcement officials to enter the property, to do that inspection, is unclear and vague. So we have provided clarity on issues like entering that, inspecting a vehicle. It was unclear whether municipal peace officers had the power to stop a vehicle in relation to any of the offences in the traffic bylaw. That has been clarified. We have a marine protection unit. They need the explicit right to enter a vessel when inspecting that vessel. So we've clarified these things and given flesh to the minister's declaration in terms of Section 334 of the Criminal Procedures Act. In 2018, I think, yes. He did an update of the Peace Officer Powers. So we're just fleshing out in more technical terms what that means for our staff so that they don't have to be unsure and that the public don't have to be unsure.
Why does this happen at a city level, JP? Why do you need a marine protection unit? Why do you need the powers to enter property to inspect when we have SAPs and other law enforcement that are provided at a national level?
I think if you speak to any community across the city, they will tell you you don't have SAPs, or certainly not in levels that are making communities safe. Quite the contrary. I mean, I was at a community policing event recently where at station level, one of the staff said, well, our ratio of officers to the public is now one officer to every 1,800 members of the public. That's about a ninth of or an eighth of what it should be. That's a shocking statistic. So the truth is that increasingly the city is being put upon to do more crime prevention work, which is one third of our crime fighting mandate. Although our core constitutional competency is traffic and bylaw enforcement,
correct,
we also have a crime prevention role in terms of Metro Police. And increasingly, the public are asking only for that. When I go to public meetings, very little is asked or said of us in terms of our core mandate. What all the public want us to do is to make them safer and fight violent and contact crime. I would suggest that that is rapidly becoming about two-thirds of our workload.
Sorry, JP, I think you might be conflating my issues. So there's a difference between crime prevention and law enforcement. So this seems like an overreach of powers for a city to have a marine protection and entering rights. But we can talk about that on another day.
We have been specifically empowered to do, for instance, marine enforcement by DAF, who have specifically trained our staff as marine resource inspectors. And we do that because we are dealing with poaching, and that unit doesn't just deal with marine poaching, they deal with terrestrial poaching as well, and often those two are very closely linked. So that it is a thing that we are very specifically legally allowed to do, but there are technical things around the edge of it which need to be clarified and unpacked in our bylaws as well, which we're doing. Remember, those bylaws are old. Your policing scene moves along. You're doing new things. Different other national laws arise. And one is constantly in need of updating bylaws. You should probably be doing it about every 3 years.
Back to the homeless. Specifically, in your statement, it says Maker has recommended two crucial bylaws. These bylaws will help us protect land and buildings against unlawful occupation and ensure the humane and constitutional enforcement of the prohibition on sleeping in public places. Is there anywhere where there's a priority in protecting the human beings?
Yes. So, for instance, if you look at the old bylaw, I think passed in 2007 somewhere, it says that it is prohibited to sleep in a public place. And the bylaw does not take cognizance of the fact that no alternative may be available to that person. And the new provision in the bylaw, when our staff act, more carefully prescribes the penalty, so it precludes penalty of arrest, which isn't possible. We are explicitly making that clear. And it precludes, it says that where no other reasonable shelter is accepted or available to the person. So we have tried to make that bylaw more reasonable in terms of the constitutional framework we operate in, and in terms of the human rights, the obligations to protecting human rights that we as a city also have. So we're taking cognizance of what's happening in the legal environment around the city and harmonizing our bylaws explicitly with it.
And that's where you find them at the end of that, if they don't take the shelter?
No, well, look, ultimately your bylaws need to be equally enforced to everyone. So whether a person, whatever the background of a person, the bylaw needs to be placed. You cannot tell a staff member that you must apply a law in one case with one person and in another way with another person. That is ultimately the role of the courts to decide how to differentiate penalties. But we have, in that provision, made the bylaw more constitutional and ensure that when our officers act, they can act with confidence. The courts must decide how they deal with the provision of the penalties. And that's also why, before there's any kind of enforcement action, long before, a huge amount of social development work goes in with offering people access to accommodation, 20 million rand to NGOs working with homeless people, about 20 million dealing with shelter opportunities and stuff. So as a local authority, we're putting a lot of money into helping with homeless issues, which is technically not our legal mandate.
Yeah, but JP, you know, crime prevention is your mandate, and you can imagine how much you could prevent by actually starting from the housing position, right? As opposed to, say, a marine unit. So, I mean, let's just ask, you know, is there a reason that this is under your portfolio and not Malusi Boys, who actually looks after housing settlements?
Which provision are you talking about? The unauthorized occupation bylaw?
Homelessness, in terms of the interventions you just mentioned.
No, ma'am, the homelessness are not under safety and security. They're under social development. That's with Councillor Zahid Badruddin. They have reintegration units that go out daily and engage people on the street and work with them. They have extraordinary successes every week. We have a monthly debriefing where they unpack what they've achieved, what interventions they've had, and the number of people they interact with, connect to treatment facilities, get back to families, get into long-term shelter and accommodations, extraordinary. Because remember, the city departs from the position that no person should be living on the street for any length of time. We understand people end up on the street out of necessity, but the goal must be to do everything possible to get people not to live on the street. No human being belongs on the street. So there's a lot of intervention and resources going into that within social development, but also within the housing environment. We are currently busy processing plans to expand our shelter opportunities and our emergency housing opportunities. So a lot of effort has gone into that. I've been part of several meetings also where MACO is dealing with looking for the money for that and looking for land, etc. So we are we're taking that very seriously, trying to advance that as rapidly as possible.
Okay. We look forward to seeing the actual results of that. Thank you so much, JP. He is the MACO member for safety and security.